It actually is somewhat of an honor to actually launch the very first panel on a session which does really represent kind of the collaboration and culture of San Diego. This is the fourth, maybe the fifth, Stem Cells on the Mesa, but it's pretty unique, I think. And it's very auspicious that we're starting the panel on what essentially is almost the fifth anniversary to the day of the passage of Prop 71. Almost my first crusade and task when I moved here from Harvard about 6 years ago was to help craft and campaign for Prop 71. So I really want to echo Larry's admiration for Bob Klein. He really, I would say, he was one of the first people that I met when I moved to California, and he quickly became one of my heroes and role models. I also want to echo Larry's comment about the collaborative culture of San Diego. It really, I've been around a lot of places too, and it's just totally unmatched anywhere in the world. And I think the Sanford Consortium, of which obviously I'm very enthusiastic, I think is the culmination of that. And we need to thank Denny Sanford for having made that, really made that possible. Anyway, the first panel actually has a title which I think reflects the evolving sophistication and complexity of the stem cell field. You probably would not have had a panel called Epigenetics 5 years ago, or at the very first Mesa Consortium. So I'm just going to set the stage. I'm not going to talk long at all. I'm just going to set the stage for three really stellar speakers who have made great contributions to this area. So epigenetics refers to processes which affect
genetics. Hi, I'm Brock Reeve, Executive Director of the Harvard Stem Cell.
Oh, that's God correcting me. I think epigenetics. is the processes in which there are effects on gene expression without changes in DNA sequences. So DNA, as you'll hear from the speakers, is organized into chromatin, which regulates gene expression and overall phenotype. And kind of the schematic that many people see is kind of beads on a string or a pearl necklace. And as I'll talk about, these are the nucleosomes, and they become activated or silenced. So basically, DNA is packaged into chromosome by being associated with histone and non-histone proteins. Now, these become the basic units of chromatin, in other words, the nucleosome, which are these base pairs, these DNA base pairs wrapped up with histone proteins. They then influence the overall structure of the gene, of the chromatin. And this kind of, the way that these are positioned, confers a higher order structure to the chromatin. That in turn, whether it's compact or more open, then can influence the patterns of gene expression. Now, there are a lot of important players that do this. You'll hear a lot about that. DNA methylation, histone modification, and these interact with a lot of chromatin remodeling complexes, nuclear architecture changers, regulatory proteins, non-coding RNAs. You'll hear a lot about this. But these help define the chromatin structure of a gene and its transcriptional activity. We're starting to learn, in fact, that even some of the same chromatin marks can go both ways. Sometimes they can repress, sometimes they can activate. Now, epigenetic processes, we're starting to learn, and you'll hear a lot about this in the panel, regulate a number of biologic processes. I'm just listing a few of them here, but basically genomic reprogramming, differentiation, commitment, learning and memory, perhaps, and certainly leading to some diseases, including neoplasia. Some of these changes can be somewhat permanent. They're placed during development. Others can be more rapid and transient to allow cells to adapt to intrinsic and environmental stimuli. And even some of these marks, contrary to what we initially thought, for example, DNA methylation may actually be somewhat reversible. Now, the role of epigenetics, of chromatin modification in stem cell biology, has only recently become appreciated. And we're starting to recognize that in addition to transcriptional regulators, that these epigenetic modifiers really play an important role in regulating the balance between pluripotence and differentiation. We were somewhat struck ourselves just in our own team, where, and many of you know that I'm also trained as a neurobiologist, in as you heard from Larry, making neural cells. And we used to think that whether you made them from pluripotent ES cells or took them directly from the neuroectoderm, either from a fetus or an adult, depended on whether you lived in a red state or a blue state. But basically, you got the same thing. Because ostensibly, they look the same. They seem to behave the same. Well, you know, when we delve further into this, we realize that there actually are some differences, that we, at least with the current cocktails that we have right now, that if nature's done the neuralizing as opposed to our playing 20 questions with nature, there seems to be greater methylation and actually additional sites of methylation. So we need to explore this and understand it. So this will be something that our panel will begin to explore. And our first speaker is Joel Gottsfeld from Scripps. And Joel has been engaged in studies of the mechanisms of gene silencing in inherited neurodegenerative diseases, and particularly has been pivotal in developing histone deacetylase inhibitors. So that was one of the chromatin modifying processes I talked about, and using these for therapeutic purposes. And these looked at Friedreich's ataxia, Huntington's, spinal muscular atrophy, cystic fibrosis. So this is a really very appropriate way to kick off the panel.